words of our text this morning begin with a stark warning. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. Be not deceived. Perhaps those words do not apply to us. After all, we have the pure doctrine inherited from our fathers. We are not like the foolish Galatians, bewitched and misled by the Judaizers. We know in which direction to steer the ship of the church and keep it on its course. We certainly will not be deceived. But though we surround ourselves with the finest accoutrements of theological education, though we make sure to maintain the boundaries that separate us from the godless world around us, we have within us no guarantee against the devil's deceptions. Just as he appeared in the paradise of the Garden of Eden, so he will come into this place of theological reflection and attempt to mislead us. He will attempt to confuse and deceive us, both in our personal walk of faith and also in our life as a community, where he will attempt to destroy and divide us. Our remedy against his wiles, the Apostle Paul tells us, is to sow to the Spirit, whose new life has been given to us through the gospel of forgiveness in Christ Jesus. It's interesting to note, in looking at this text, we remember that Galatians is the epistle to which Luther turned in his fight against the works righteousness of the Catholic Church. It is also interesting to note that in this epistle, where Paul so clearly teaches justification by grace through faith, he not only teaches of justification, but also, beginning in chapter 5, vigorously teaches sanctification and good works. Once in a while, we get the idea that exhorting God's people to pursue sanctification is somehow to be toned down, that it's a bit un-Lutheran to exhort our brothers to live holy lives and to do good works. But the book of Galatians certainly belies that notion altogether. Good works follow faith as clearly as summer harvest follows spring planting. The seeds that were sown that produce new life will and must produce the fruit of a godly life. Paul warns us against the delusion that somehow Christians can sort of relax and take it easy in their struggle against their sinful flesh. He who sows to the flesh will reap corruption. The deceits of the flesh, they lure us, they offer life, but it is, in fact, a deceit. Sin leads inevitably towards death and corruption, and indulging in the works of the flesh will destroy our faith. It is in repentance that faith has its birth, and faith continues to live day by day in repentance. In Walther's Law and Gospel, he cites Luther on this issue, and I think it's an important quote to remember. Luther said, "Christ says in Luke 24:47 that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. However, nowadays many speak of forgiveness of sins and say little or nothing regarding repentance, notwithstanding the fact that without repentance there is no remission of sins. Nor can remission of sins be understood without repentance. If remission of sins without repentance is preached, the people imagine that they have already forgiveness of sins, and thereby they are made secure and unconcerned. This is a greater error and sin than all errors of former times." Thus stated Dr. Luther. So for us, in our task together here, as students and theologians, it is as we live daily at the foot of the cross, as we daily with repentant hearts receive with gratefulness and joy the gift of the forgiveness of our sins, that we will not be deceived, but we will walk in the Spirit. The gospel teaches us of the love that God has for us, and so transforms our hearts as that love is poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Because we know his love for us, we can have boldness and eagerness to walk in his paths. So in this section of Galatians, in Galatians 5 and 6, we see that the Apostle Paul lays special emphasis on the life of the community of believers, on the body of Christ. Do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love be servants of one another. He exhorts us to live in love, which expresses itself in deeds of service. And we see in that catalog of the works of the flesh that he warns against, we see highlighted those snares of sin that threaten our life together: enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, selfishness, dissension, party spirit, and envy. These things can even convert the virtue of defending the true faith into a pharisaical vice that is motivated more by the enmities of our sinful nature than by the love of God. God's word here reminds us that we truly express our new life in Christ when we joyfully live our lives as servants, just as Jesus gave himself as a servant for us. We have been set free from the curse of the law and slavery to our sinful flesh, and now we are released to serve one another in love. And we do this with tremendous confidence and hope, as the Apostle Paul reminds us. He says to us, "Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." As we serve our brothers and sisters in the faith, it is easy to find ourselves discouraged at times by the disappointments and frustrations of the moment. We bear the crosses our Savior has given us in our vocation, and it is not easy to follow his path of patient love. But Paul reminds us to lift up our nose and our eyes from the grindstone and see by faith the rich harvest that awaits us. We do not pray "Thy kingdom come" in the Lord's Prayer as a plea for something uncertain. We pray it with bold confidence, knowing that God's kingdom will not and cannot fail. So all the small acts of service that we do for the kingdom and for one another in the household of God will bring a great harvest, and we will rejoice with all the saints in that great day of our Lord's appearing. So Paul tells us, "So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." I thank God for the hospitality, service, and love this community has extended to me and my family in the short time that we have been here this summer. Little acts of encouragement and kindness do so much to give us energy and joy as we carry out our work together. As the psalmist wrote, "How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore." If we give in to the temptation of fleshly pride and rivalry, we bring to naught what our Lord has done in making us members of his body. But when we sow to the Spirit in deeds of loving service to one another, we will reap a harvest of joy, now and in eternity. Amen.